The following audio is from Hope Hill Church. To learn more about Hope Hill Church, please visit hopehillchurch.org.
Anthony, I've known since seventh grade when he was getting in trouble. He'll tell you more about that in his story today. But over the years, God has got a hold of his heart in a powerful way. He feels called to the ministry. He's been serving with us off and on the past several years and is our church plant apprentice. Which means we get to give him all the grunt work that we don't want to do. And he has a passion for God's word, and we wanted to give him an opportunity to share that with you today. So let me pray for you, and then we'll dive in together. Father God, thank you so much for Anthony. Thank you for the way that you have used him to minister to several of us. Thank you for the way that you've used him to be a minister to his family. And we pray that you would now give him the power and presence of your Holy Spirit to share what you've laid on his heart with us from your word. In your name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. So some of you know me as Anthony, a.k.a. Hold Still, like these guys in the front here. I serve in children's. Sometimes I'm usually back there during second service, doing fourth grade. So if some of you have fourth graders, they probably know me as their teacher. During youth group, I'm also a high school leader. So this guy right here, Evan, you know what we're talking about. We have inside jokes, so we just play around. But in all seriousness, the reason why I'm here today, I'm going to explain a little bit about who I am and why I am here. Before I get into that, though, I just want everyone to know here that what I'm about to explain is a story of a broken family. It's my family. I do have permission from my family to talk about this. And it's just a story of how we were a broken family and how God healed us. We're also going to be in the book of Job to describe how in the Bible God uses righteous people, and sometimes bad things happen to good people and we don't know why. And my hope today is not that I can answer why things happen to us or why we go through struggles, but my hope today is that you have some sort of peace or an understanding of why you're going through what you're going through. And so this is my family. I think I was like, 8 years old? Yeah, I had big ears. This is my family. I grew up an athlete. I grew up in a military family. So for those of you that know what HUA means, whoop, that's Army. My dad was in the Army for 21 years. At this time, he was a master sergeant at this time. And we had the perfect family. I was doing good in school. I had AB honor roll. I was playing sports. I played football and wrestling. That's my sister. Yeah, with the big eyebrows. She's not here. She would be laughing. I thought she was here. And so we had this perfect family, right? And it's just like there's nothing that could be wrong, right? We look so good on the outside. But around 10 years old, when I turned 10 years old, something happened between my family. And there was some heartache, there was some brokenness between my parents. And that had an effect on me because I thought it's all his fault. You know, my dad is a loving father. I don't mean this in a heartbreaking way or that my dad's a bad guy, but I hated my dad because of what happened. And I had hatred in my heart. And I lived most of my life that way, whether it be in sports, whether it be in relationships. I carried around hatred in my heart because of what my dad did. And so in order to rebel against that, I started rebelling against my parents and God. You see, I didn't just say, I'm leaving this family. I said, I'm not listening to you, Dad, because my dad is a loving father. And he always wanted what was best for me. He said, son, just go to school, get good grades, and do good in sports. But because I was selfish, because I was prideful, I rebelled against that. I started skipping school. I skipped practice. And I was just rebelling against my parents and rebelling against God. Until one day when I became a freshman in high school, truancy officer got involved. And she basically said, Anthony, if you don't go to school, you're breaking the law. And we'll be forced to send you to jail for 7 days. But I didn't listen. And that was where I lived for 7 days of my life. I mean, look at it. Like, this is actually a nice room. I slept on a concrete with a little thin piece of mat just like that. And if you were thirsty, too bad. You had to drink. You see how the toilet is attached to the sink? I had to drink from the sink that was attached to a toilet. That was what I did for 7 days of my life because I was being selfish. I was being prideful, and I rebelled against God. But it's funny how when you've lost everything and you're in a place where you have nothing, you seek God. And so that Sunday, some preacher came in, and he told us about the gospel. He told us that you can have a personal relationship with Jesus. He said that just because you're in jail and a lot of people don't like you, it doesn't mean I didn't come and die for you. He shared with us that just because we were prisoners, it didn't mean that God didn't love us. And so he brought these apples. And this is significant because when you're in jail, you're used to eating, like, garbage, man. Like, the spaghetti, like, it had been sitting there for days. And it was just, like, humiliating eating this stuff. And he brought these apples because he went on a mission trip to Fuji. And he said that while I was there, me and my wife were praying for you guys because we knew that we would see you. And the apple is significant because it wasn't perfect. It's not like the ones you see in Food Lion where it's so perfect on the outside and it's going to be so good. It wasn't perfect, but it was real. And what I needed in my life was something real. And so he gave us these apples. And he asked us if we would receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. No one came up. We were sitting in rows of chairs just like this, and our cells were all around. If you can imagine, like cells. And no one came up, but he challenged us. He said, if you go back to your room tonight, I challenge you to ask God to come into your life and show you that there's a better way than this. And so I went into my room that night and I prayed and I said, Lord, if you're real, come into my life. I believe you died for me. Change my family. Change my heart because I don't want to be here the rest of my life. I don't want to be drinking water from a toilet. And so when I got out, I still continued to rebel because I didn't see change in my family. I was still broken from seeing what happened. My perfect family on the outside wasn't so perfect anymore. And so I continued to rebel until I became a dropout. I had lost everything. All my friends turned on me. I didn't have that family unit anymore. And I had no future. All my aspirations of going to college were gone. All my aspirations of playing sports in college were gone. I had nothing. All I had was Christ at the time. And it's just, when you're in that moment, you begin to appreciate what God has done for you. And so, for about a year of my life, all I did was play video games. That's all I did. I played video games and I didn't do anything with my life. Until one day, a dear friend of mine told me about Liberty. And if you've never been to Liberty, this is like the greatest place on earth. Like, you should send your kids here. No, I'm serious. Like, pretty much most of your kids here probably go to Liberty. I know it's talked about a lot, but there's something significant about that place that happened in my life because while I was there, I went originally for nursing. See, what happened was I got my GED and I worked a couple jobs in construction in order to go to Liberty. And so while I was there, I had this plan, right? I had this four-year plan, just like every college student. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. You know, I'm going to have a nursing degree. I'm going to make a lot of money because I just want to help people. But I can make a lot of money doing it. But when I was there, I had a mentor. And I had been praying a lot. And God had put this passion and dream in my heart to become a pastor. And I had to take a step that I thought I would never take. You see, I was excited about it, and I had told my parents about it, but some things happened, and basically what happened was I was financially cut off. And so I was back home again. And I was in a place where I didn't know what was happening. I don't know why God brought me back, why I had everything. I had a plan, and I had a degree. And all this stuff was all playing out for me, and now I'm back here. And I was questioning God, why? Why did this happen to me? I trusted you. With that being said, about my story, I like to pick up on a story about a man named Job. If you all will please turn with me to Job 1:1 if you have your Bibles. It'll be on the screen if you don't have your Bibles. You see, Job was a righteous man. He was blameless. Starting in verse 1:1, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was blameless and upright, one who feared God and turned away from evil. There were born to him 7 sons and 3 daughters. He possessed 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 female donkeys, and very many servants, so that this man was the greatest of all the people of the East. So if you can imagine someone, just picture someone in your life who has everything. They can do no wrong. They have all the money. They have the perfect family. Their kids are doing what everyone wants their kids to do. They just seem blessed by God, right? Because they have everything they need. They don't have to worry about anything. This was Job. Everyone looked at him as someone who was blessed by God because of all the great things he did. We can go to the next verse. Now, what I'm doing is I'm skipping over a few verses for the sake of time, but basically what's happening in verses 6 through 12 is God and Satan are, Satan is challenging God, and it's in a spiritual realm. And Satan is saying, God, Job can trust you when he has everything, but he'll curse you when you take things from him. Will he really love you if you take everything from him? And God replies, yes, he will. And so Satan challenges God. And God gives Satan all of Job's possessions. As you saw, we just saw he had all his family, all his servants, and all his property. And we pick up in verse 13. Now there was a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. And there came a messenger to Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the donkeys feeding beside them. And the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them and struck them down. He struck the servants down with the edge of the sword. And I alone have escaped to tell you. So basically the Sabaeans come from the south. And they come and they attack all his servants. So if I was in Job's shoes, I'd be like, hey, I've just lost a few servants. That's really heartbreaking, but it's not that bad. But not only that, he says, while he was yet speaking, there came another and said, the fire of God came from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them. And I alone have escaped to tell you. So another servant who escaped what he just saw is telling Job, something came from the sky and burned a bunch of sheep and even more servants. So Job has lost a bunch of servants, and now he's lost some sheep, right? But that's not it. He says, while he was yet speaking, there came another and said, the Chaldeans formed 3 groups and made a raid on the camels and took them and struck down the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you. So there's a third messenger who says, Job, we're being attacked. We're losing all our servants. that wasn't it. Satan wasn't done yet. While he was yet speaking, there came another and said, "Your sons and your daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. And behold, a great wind came across the wilderness and struck the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young people. And they are dead. And I alone have escaped to tell you." So Job is being attacked from the north, the south, the east, the west, and from the sky. Not only did he lose his servants, he's lost property, and now he just lost his children. Now, I don't have experience in this. I don't have children. But can you all just imagine not just losing one of your children, but all of them at the same time? To watch them grow as babies, to becoming young women, young men, and they're all gone just like that. Just like that, all of them. Now, I don't know about you, but if I had children, I'd be like, "What are you doing, God?" Then Job arose and tore his robe and shaved his head. And he fell on the ground. And he what? He worshipped. I need to repeat that. He fell on the ground and he worshipped. What? You just took my children, my servants, my property, everything. You took everything from me. But I'm going to worship you through that. And he said, "Naked I come from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." In all this, Job did not sin or charge God with wrong. I mean, honestly speaking, right then and there, I don't know if I would have done what Job did. I would have questioned God. Why? Why? I've done nothing wrong. What about the guy down the street who's stealing and murdering? I've been righteous. I've done everything for you, Lord. We'll pick up in chapter 2. Satan wasn't done challenging God. Because again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. This is the spiritual realm. And Satan also came among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said to Satan, "From where have you come?" Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro on the earth and from walking up and down it." And the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? That there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, who fears God and turns away from evil? He still holds fast his integrity, although you incited him against me to destroy him without reason." Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "Skin for skin. All that a man has he will give for his life. But stretch out your hand and touch his bone and flesh, and he will curse you to your face." So Satan is saying, "Allow me to do something to his body. Allow me to affect him directly." And the Lord said to Satan, "Behold, he is in your hand. Only spare his life." So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and struck Job with loathsome sores in the sole of his foot, from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. So Job is suffering mentally, emotionally, and now he's suffering physically. He's already lost everything. He's lost his family. And now he's got these sores. And he took a piece of broken pottery with which to scrape himself, and he sat in the ashes. So he's sitting there. He's just scratching himself because he's like, "This is so itchy." While he's dealing with the death of his children. That's not it. Then his wife said to him, "Do you still hold fast your integrity? curse God and die. So now his wife is saying curse God because she's dealing with the same thing he is. She had to have these children. She had to go through childbirth for these children. But they have these children together. And so you can only begin to understand what she's going through and what Job is going through. But he said to her, "You speak as one of the foolish women would speak. Shall we receive good from God and not receive evil?" In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. So we start the story by saying Job was blameless and upright, and he had everything. He had all these sheep. He had all these children. He had everything. Everything anyone else wanted. And now he's sitting here scraping himself, telling his wife not to be foolish. And he's going through all this pain. What he does is significant because he doesn't say, "Curse God." He says, "I will trust in God. I will trust in God no matter what." This is an amazing act of faith. It's an amazing act of faith. So going back to my story, I lost all my friends. I lost financial support. I lost the family unit that I had. But I believed that God was calling me to ministry. I believed that he would take care of me. And so, I could have done the same thing. I could have gone back to playing video games all day. I could have gone back to being selfish. But I believed God had a plan for me. And that was around the time I met John and Brandy. And they provided me with the family unit that I needed. And someone in this church provided the funds for me to go back to school. And not only that, God wasn't done. He provided me with new friends, Christian friends, who uplifted me, who were there for me. People like Jared and Bailey and Sarah and Jordan. People like that. I'm not here to tell you today that we suffer so that we can prosper. I'm not here to tell you that we're going to get Corvettes because we go through bad things. But what I am here to tell you is that there is hope and faith in Jesus Christ. Because if I didn't believe that God had a plan for me, I don't know where I'd be. I wouldn't be here today. I wouldn't be here today. I'd probably be back in that jail cell. But God has a plan for us. And I know that some of you are suffering. And I can't tell you why. I wish I could just hold you and tell you that everything's going to be okay. But I don't know. I don't know why we go through sufferings. I don't know why everything's not perfect. But what I can tell you is that there is hope if you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Things won't be all perfect, just like they weren't perfect for me. But I had hope. I had belief in something that was greater than myself. And I want you to know these truths today. That whatever you're going through, it's to be an inspiration to someone else who's going through something that you're going through. I never knew the love my parents had for me until I realized how selfish I was. You see, God wasn't done with my story because eventually my mom started coming to Hope Hill, right? And she started getting involved with things like the clothes closet, and it started to have an effect on my dad. And a couple of months ago, my dad gave his life to Christ. We had been praying for that. We kept believing. And just recently, my sister has started coming. I mean, only God could write that story. I can't write that story. That is not, it's not about me. The reason we suffered as a family is not about us. It's about to tell the story like I'm telling today. So that those of you that have kids that are rebelling, kids that just sit around all day and play video games like I did, or those of you that have struggling marriages and you're just barely holding on, that's why we have a story like that. That's why we had to suffer. And I'm here to tell you today that you're going through the same thing. It's for the same reason. God has a plan that we can't see. Because there is something happening that we can't see. So I'm going to ask the band to come up. For those of you who have never given your life to Jesus Christ, know today that he came for people like me. He came for those prisoners in that jail cell. I went there for skipping school, but there were guys in there for doing way worse things than me, and he came for them too. He came for the people like my dad and like my mom. He came for the broken families. He wants to heal. He wants to be our Savior. He wants to be our Lord. And I pray today, my hope is that you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And just know that things aren't going to be perfect, like I said before, but you will have hope. Hope that you never had before. And those of you that are Christians, and you're just going through hard times, you don't know why. You don't feel God's presence. You don't know why things are happening to you and your family. Why it's your child that has to suffer. Why it can't be you instead. My prayer today is that God gives you peace. A peace of mind to know that he is in control. And then if even Satan himself has to ask God permission, then God truly controls everything. So Lord, I pray right now for those who have never received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that today is the day that Jesus is the only way to the Father. That he died on the cross and he rose again from the grave. And that if you would accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior today, that you will have a peace and understanding that lasts for an eternity. A love that is greater than any man or woman can give you. And Lord, I pray for those who are struggling that do believe in you. That you work in their lives and show them your power. That you show them that you are with them every step of the way. That there is no one righteous. And it's not about the good deeds you do like Job. It's not about how many Bible verses you know. It's not about how much you come to church. It's about believing in you. You are the only way and you are the Father. You are the Lord of our lives. And if you are struggling with something, I pray that you go with someone that you trust, someone you hold dearly, and you just give it to the Lord. Let's be real. In Jesus' name. Amen.
So as the worship team leads us in the time of
response. We want to invite you as you feel led to think about the challenges Anthony has shared with you. If you've given your heart to Jesus or you want to pray with one of us to do so, please come forward. We'd love to pray with you. We'll also have a couple prayer teams in the back. If there is some struggle going on and you recognize you're bitter, you're angry, release that to God. Find somebody here. So like Anthony said, someone you love, pray with them about it. Pray with one of us. And allow God to meet you in this time and carry you through this. And let us remember that this is all only possible because of what Jesus did for us. And the night before Jesus was arrested, he took a piece of bread and he broke it. He said, "This is a symbol of my body that will be broken for you." And he dipped it in a cup of wine, representing his blood that would be shed to forgive us of our sins for any who would put their faith and trust in him. If you've given your heart to Jesus, we invite you to come and to partake in communion. There's a station up here and a station in the back. And as you do as an act of worship and remembrance, let us remember God and say, "Thank you for what you've done for me. Help me now to live for you." If you've given your heart to Jesus today, let one of us know and then go and